bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Common Sense on Social Justice. I appreciate the faithfulness that so many of you have expressed in watching or listening to learn the principles of how to create a just society where you are, and you're doing it. We're in our fourth year now, and it has been interesting over these last 4 years to learn what you're doing specifically to live out these principles, and it's such an encouragement to me. Today we're finishing up our study of how to serve immigrants. We were studying Ex Sol Familia Nazarethan, the document of apostolic constitution, rather, that was given to us by Pope Pius XII after World War II, when there was just mass migration around the world from that, the fallout of that war. And Pope Pius XII gives us instructions, gave us a grand history lesson on what the church has done for migrants throughout its history, and gave us some practical principles to live out. Now, today, I'm sharing with you better ways to serve migrants with my own ideas. In today's world of internet, podcast, television, streaming, radio, my voice is one of a million voices. I get that. I get the fact that I am a small fish in a large ocean. The ancient Greeks had places where orators and philosophers could speak publicly in a marketplace of ideas, and St. Paul would gravitate to these places to proclaim the gospel. 2,000 years later, God has planted his people in this grand marketplace of ideas to proclaim truth. Admittedly, there is so much junk available out there and a lot of silly ideas, but here at Common Sense on Social Justice, we speak truth. These principles I give, when lived out, will transform your life, the life of others, and will bring you more intimacy in your relationship with God as you live in obedience. Again, we've been studying the Apostolic Constitution of Pope Pius XII, and I hope you enjoyed it and learned and were challenged by it. Today, I'm ending this series by presenting my own ideas with the principles given on how to better serve immigrants. Now, let me say that my ideas are certainly not better than Pope Pius XII's ideas, okay? However, my ideas are coming from much study and a lot of experience. I have, for over 30 years now, served those on the margins, and in recent years served more intensely immigrants and refugees. So I have a lot of experience at this, and I'm speaking from that experience today. And I want to share with you from my experience and knowledge and studies some four principles that you need to remember and learn in your service to migrants. First of all, don't let the national trends distract you. That is something you got to get deep into your mind, is don't let the national trends distract you. No matter how much the government may ramp up deportations, you just keep serving the immigrants. And a lot of people have asked me, Michael, what are you going to do with deportations ramping up and your passion for immigrants? I said, I'm just going to keep serving the ones that are still here. Keep serving the ones that are in front of me. As the scripture talks about keeping your hand to the plow, you don't look off into the distance, because if you do, then you're going to cut a crooked line in the dirt. No, you keep your head down. You keep your hand to the plow. You just keep doing. No matter how many deportations, no matter how many times people tell me you can't do that, you can't serve these immigrants, I'm just keeping my head down, and you just keep serving. That's what you do. I mean, it's not just with immigrants. Any work of social justice you do, you're going to have your detractors. You're going to have your critics. don't engage so much with them. I mean, sometimes I engage with critics in a hope to change their mind. But sometimes I just keep my head down, keep going, because I don't want to get distracted. So don't let the national trends distract you. No matter, I don't care if they're liberal or conservative trends, don't let them distract you. And don't let the liberals and conservatives sway you. Each of them has an agenda, and they will not deviate from that agenda. Always, always let Christ and His church speak into your life as to how to relate to migrants. Always let. You know, sometimes I think by sheer accident, the church's teachings and the government's current agenda may inadvertently come into line with each other. I say that's pure accident if that happens. But again, let Christ and His church speak into your life. Let the politicians do what they may. Don't let whatever trend is happening right now distract you from what the church teaches us in our relation to the migrants. It's been interesting to see Elon Musk on X going off on Trump. Entertainment value, maybe. I was talking to the producer earlier about this, and we were talking about the entertainment value and that it's all theatrics in a lot of ways. But Elon has repeatedly called for a third political party to be formed, and I saw yesterday he's calling it the America Party, so there you go. Musk was a Democrat. Then when Trump came along, he switched to Republican and served in Trump's administration only to leave with great disappointment. Okay, it's a fascinating dynamic going on there. But the politicians, let me say this, in either party are not out for your best interest. They are in it for votes and power. Don't let their current agenda sway you from obedience to the gospel. I saw an interesting comment on X this week. And, you know, it was just somebody randomly just spouting an opinion. But it was one of those that caught my attention. I'm like, huh, maybe I should think about that for a minute. But it was showing a group of people, the original post that this person was commenting to, were at what's now called Alligator Alcatraz in South Florida for immigrants, apparently a place surrounded by swamps and alligators and a place of cages to put human beings in. And I say that very intentionally, to put human beings in. Very much not in favor of this Alligator Alcatraz, but showed Christine Noem, Trump, and DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, laughing and, you know, whatever, making jokes of this place. And this person just reposted and comments, "These are the people that believe there's a God that we answer to someday." And I thought, interesting. These are the people who believe that we answer to a God someday who are the very ones breaking God's commandments. I thought, yeah, I need to put some thought into that, because we can be hypocrites. We know that. But the current trend that many people are getting swept up into is a trend of hating immigrants and believing all immigrants are criminals, which they're not. A lot of fifth-generation native-born Americans are criminals. I mean, so, you know, that's not the point, or shouldn't be the point in the narrative. But then, you know, there can be trends of let's welcome anybody and everybody, although that's not necessarily healthy for society either. What I'm saying is don't get caught up in the current trends, because they all come and go. All trends come and go, but the gospel remains. So it's better to stick with the gospel. Jesus never paid attention to the national trends. Rather, he paid attention to the Father's will. The Pharisees and Sadducees were trying to trap Jesus by coming up with hypothetical situations and then seeing if they could get Jesus to answer in the wrong way. If you've watched the most recent season of The Chosen, you saw that, where the religious leaders of Israel were there in the temple court trying to confront Jesus with questions to trap him. One time, though, as they were doing this, they said, they predicated their question with, "Teacher, we know that you are not swayed by men, for you do not care about what men think." Well, and they were right about that. Jesus was not swayed by men and didn't really care about men's opinions on matters. What Jesus cared about was the will of the Heavenly Father. And if we're going to follow and claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we should follow our Lord in the same way. So don't let yourself get caught up in national trends around immigration. Secondly, another lesson is don't forget about their salvation. Now, I alluded to this in the last episode. I want to talk about it a little bit more here. Don't forget about their salvation. Also, let them lead you to salvation, as many of them have, and when I say them, immigrants and refugees, but also homeless, whatever, marginalized groups, and many of them have a deeper faith than you and I have. The poor and needy and those experiencing injustice have a soul just like you and me. They need salvation like you and I. Because they are oppressed or poor, needy, does not mean that they are automatically saved. But it also, on the flip side, doesn't mean they're not deeply experiencing God's salvation. Many of them are quite saintly. Many of these immigrants and refugees that I've met, and I met countless number of them, are quite saintly. So use discernment. I want to warn you to avoid the trap of creating a social justice gospel. Rather, see that social justice is an outgrowth of the gospel. Okay, so the gospel doesn't come out of social justice. Social justice comes as an outgrowth of the gospel. So avoid the trap of creating a social justice gospel. Don't forget that the poor and broken are sinners and in need of Christ, just like you and I. Don't just meet their temporary needs of this life, but also make sure to meet their eternal needs. Meeting their eternal needs could look different, by the way, depending on the person. If they don't know Christ, then bring them to knowledge of Christ. If they do follow Christ, then feed them from the Word of God, encourage them, pray with them, bring them to Mass with you. But on the flip side, let them lead you to salvation. It could very well be that many of the immigrants coming into our land are bringing the gospel to us, and I know they are. So many of the poor and broken have a deeper faith than you and I. St. James says in the Bible that God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. You know, there, you think of the African slaves in the South in the 1700s and 1800s. There was such a deep faith among those African slaves in the South and among many in the black community. Why? Well, because their suffering led them to God. I mean, I love listening to what's called the old Negro spirituals, those hymns that some of the slaves wrote. Love them. And you can tell from the depth of the words of those hymns that it was born out of suffering. So their suffering in the black community led them to God, whereas many in the white population are so empty spiritually because they rely on themselves and have not had to suffer. Now, again, I don't want to paint a blanket statement. Obviously, there's people with white skin who are very deeply saintly and people who are struggle with being evil. Same in the black community. I don't want to create a blanket statement. What I'm saying is, as a general population group, you can see those trends. The poor, or what we often call third world countries, have an explosion of conversions. But the most powerful and richest countries are dying spiritually. and we can see why. I remember one time when I was in Eldoret, Kenya, I went to Mary Mother of the Apostles Catholic Church for Mass. And the person who took me to Mass there had forgotten the Mass time, and we ended up in an hour early for Mass. So as I sat there, I saw these Kenyan teenagers with their stonewashed jeans and their Nike tennis shoes on. I saw them walking in to Mass, and I ended up seeing about 200 teenagers an hour before Mass, laying on the floor face down before the Blessed Sacrament. Born out of suffering, they discovered a deep faith in Christ. Me, with all of my privilege of living in America, had missed that deep faith of showing up to Mass an hour, being face down on the floor before the Blessed Sacrament. We have to get a clue. And we have to understand that these immigrants coming across the southern border of the United States very well may be sent by God to bring us the gospel, because we have long ago in America forsaken the gospel. So when it comes to immigrants, allow them to bring the light of Christ to you and be open to it. It could very well be that America has fallen into such a deep spiritual darkness that God is bringing immigrants here to bring the light of the gospel to us, and we must humble ourselves. A third principle we can learn today is be the voice that defends their basic human rights. Jeremiah told King Jehoiakim, king of Israel, "Your father Josiah defended the cause of the poor and needy. Is that not what it means to know me, says the Lord?" Now, to give you a little bit of background, King Josiah, I mean, there were just such wicked kings and such wickedness in the ancient land of Israel. But this one king, this young king, King Josiah, who was extremely young, I mean a child when he became king, he had been taught by a very godly man. And one day Josiah spent some of the royal treasury to begin some remodeling work on the temple. And one of the workers found a book buried in the walls. And Josiah, king of Israel, had the book read, and it was the book of the law, the books of Moses. Now, he had never heard this before. Can you imagine that Israel had fallen into such deep sin that they completely forgot that there even was the books of Moses? But that's where they were as a nation. As King Josiah heard this, he ripped his clothes, he repented in ashes before God and called for a national repentance and made a lot of spiritual reforms in the land of Israel. However, King Josiah died, and his son did not follow suit, and his son Jehoiakim led Israel back into deep wickedness. But he spent a lot of money building elaborate palaces for himself, and so the prophet Jeremiah comes along and says, "Your father Josiah defended the cause of the poor needy. Is that not what it means to know me, says the Lord?" He defended their cause. Notice he didn't do their cause for them. He defended their right to have a cause. So speak up. I can't hear you. We can't hear you. Speak up. Speak lovingly, yet firmly. Do not deviate when you speak in defending the immigrants and refugees. Speak very lovingly, yet firmly. Don't get caught up in the yelling matches of many social justice movements. Rather, speak lovingly yet firmly. The prophets of the Old Testament did not waver from their message. So I encourage you, call people back to obedience to the gospel. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan shows us what obedience to the gospel looks like. Jesus says, welcome the stranger. So I encourage you as a listener, speak up in defense of the strangers coming into our land, because they are called to be brothers and sisters with us. And I think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., God used him so mightily in the civil rights movement. He didn't draft any legislation. He just simply was the voice that spoke up in defense of minorities. And then finally, the fourth principle to learn today is always remember where the immigrants came from. Where did these immigrants come from? Well, first and foremost, they came from God. They were created by the same creator that you and I were created by. This means that we are deeply connected to them. You cannot separate your treatment of immigrants and your relation to them from your treatment relationship with God. If you kick immigrants out of the land, then you're okay with kicking Jesus out of the land because Jesus was a refugee. You're okay with kicking Mary and Joseph out of the land because they were refugees. If you hate immigrants and refugees who are made in the image of God, then that means you hate God. St. John, I've said it before, I got to say it clearly again. St. John says in his first letter of 1 John, you cannot claim to love God and yet hate your brother. So I'm sorry, Christine Nome, you who hate immigrants so viciously, you are a hater of God. And Ron DeSantis and others, do not claim to love God if you hate these brothers and sisters with such viciousness as to create something so wicked as alligator Alcatraz. They were created by the same creator. They bear the same image of God that you and I do. And again, you cannot negatively affect migrants without negatively affecting yourself because they are our brothers and sisters. Remember, secondly, the horror and struggle that they came from in their homeland. I've heard so many of them say this. They didn't want to leave their homeland, but they had no choice. I was talking to somebody who's now a citizen. They had come from Afghanistan, and they came from the first wave from way back from Afghanistan. And then a couple years ago, they went back to Afghanistan in the hopes of moving back home. But then they came back to the United States and became a citizen. And they told me, the reason is I realized that I will never be able to return to my homeland. It's too far gone. And they said that with a broken heart. Folks, these people are not coming here to be criminals. Are there criminals that cross the border? Sure. But there's criminals that are born and raised here. I mean, you don't have to be an immigrant to commit crime. But these people crossing our borders, coming in, are coming from desperately bad places, places where you and I would not be able to handle living. And they didn't want to leave their homeland, but they had no choice. Show them great mercy. Jesus tells us in the Gospels, whoever shows mercy will be given mercy by God. The one who fails to show mercy will not receive mercy from God. Show these immigrants great mercy. Be their place of healing and acceptance. Recently, there was a nationwide protest called the No Kings Rally. And By the way, I marched in that rally. I didn't march in the rally so much to, you know, be in opposition to Donald Trump or whatever. I wanted to see firsthand what was going on with this rally. So I saw some signs that made me chuckle. One woman in front of me, as we were walking down the street, she had a big, colorful poster that was a picture of Jesus riding the donkey into Jerusalem. And it said, real kings don't need tanks. I thought, okay, that's creative. Another one that made me chuckle is somebody was handing out free bottles of water because it was kind of hot that day. And they had a sign that says, free water, no ice. I thought, okay, that's creative. And I heard a guy behind me chuckle and he said, yeah, that's creative. But I did see on X a funny meme where Trump is sitting with Putin and says, I bet I can get Democrats to call me king on my birthday. I thought, okay, that's funny. I like good things like that. But we all know there is only one king, Jesus Christ. This king Jesus was a refugee to Egypt to escape the madness of a horrible king. This king went to the margins and loved the lowly and the abandoned. If we claim to follow in his steps, we must love the immigrant, the refugee, the homeless, the blind, the lame, the leper, the abandoned, the disenfranchised. And may we truly do so as we create that just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.